Well, welcome to Atomic Brain Invasion. I had so many people that said, like, what's that about? You know, so yeah, this series is really born out of concern and just a lot of frustration as I've watched this invasion that's destroying people's lives. It's an invasion that's otherworldly. It's an invasion that is stealing people's joy and hope. It's altering futures. It's an invasion that should be alarming. It's an invasion of the mind. It's a supernatural invasion. You know, it's an invasion of another kind. In fact, I'm convinced you might not even be aware that it's happening. You know, Paul writes this. He says, "We are not fighting against humans. We're fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world." In other words, we are fighting a spiritual war. It's a spiritual invasion. And Solomon, who was considered one of the wisest people in his generation, he was giving advice to his son, but I also think it was advice to you and me. He says, more than anything, you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. Protect your mind above everything else. You know, this series is really a call for Christ followers to protect their minds from the invasion that's taking place. And here's something that I think will challenge your perspective a little bit. I think it's a little bit mind-blowing, but the Apostle Paul, he kind of is encouraging Christ followers to resist the invasion when he says this. He says, "Beloved, remember you don't belong to this world. You are resident," what? Aliens, living in exile. Christ followers, we are not from this world. We are aliens. We are citizens of heaven. And therefore, we are to live differently from the world. We're to see things differently, and we're to think differently. In fact, I would pose to you alien minds, Christian minds. It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about that and look at it from that perspective. Every day, you are affected, you are influenced by the worldview of people around you. It's a worldview of friends, maybe coworkers, you know, classmates, maybe your parents, media, Hollywood, celebrities. I mean, we could go on and on. And the fact is, they influence you in ways that you may not even be aware of. And I know as I'm saying that, some of you are going, yeah, so what's the big deal? Well, the worldviews you allow to invade your mind determine how you see things. It determines how you process things, how you feel about life. Your worldview will determine your view of God, of yourself, how you see other people, how you determine what's good and evil. Your worldview establishes your thoughts about life, about death, about how you see the past, the present, the future. Your worldview will regulate how you feel about pain, suffering, problems, challenges. It'll determine your understanding about relationships, time, money. Your worldview ultimately affects your confidence in life, your happiness, and your peace of mind. Friends, when you allow that invasion in your mind, well, it has atomic power. In fact, it has life-altering power. Your worldview will determine how you live, and it's the kind of the accumulation of all your beliefs. It's what you build your life on. Your worldview, it's the filter you see life through. You know, God wired your brain, for good or bad, but he wired your brain in such a way that every time you make a decision, even a little decision, you know, your brain immediately begins to access everything. All the information in your head, all the data in your head, everything that's in your mind, it's sifting through that. And so you come to a point and you go, now, how do I feel about that? What do I believe about that? And then you make a decision, whether consciously or unconsciously, you make decisions based on what you believe to be true, to be real. And every time you make a choice, again, whether it's a big choice or something very, very small, you access your worldview. That's all the ideas, all the experiences that are in your head, all the images, the beliefs, the convictions, the concepts, the principles, the standards, all the hurt and pain in life, all that stuff that you hold up here, all those things are part of your worldview. And you make your decisions based on what's up here. You know, for instance, if you thought that Friday the world was going to end, okay? Play with me here. The world's going to end on Friday. You would live differently, right? I mean, your decisions this week would be very, very different based on that premise of what you believe. You know, be like, yep, not going to work, not doing that. Don't have to be nice anymore, you know. And my point is, what you believe matters. And that's why it's so important what you allow to infiltrate and take up residency in your mind, why that's so important. And that's going to be our focus the next few weeks. We're going to focus on some things that are invading our thinking, things that can steal your peace, your joy, your confidence, things that get you off track. You know, things that keep you from experiencing the best life, the abundant life that Jesus promised his followers. And this series is kind of set up to complement the All Church study that Doug was talking about. You know, October 14th, 6:30 to 8:15. You know, Tuesday evening. Meal provided, good food, by the way. And I just encourage you, sign up, pick the book up, Start reading, you know, don't give the enemy a seat at the table. You know, the Apostle Paul says this, Romans 12, he says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind, your mind. Atomic brain invasion. It's about protecting your mind. It's about stopping the mindless invasion. And I'll tell you up front, I'm going to challenge you regularly through this series to think about what you're thinking about, think about what you think. And today, just so we're clear, I'm going to talk in broad terms, okay? I want to get us all on the same page, and then next week, we'll start drilling down on things, and we're going to get real specific, a lot more handles, okay? Does that make sense? I just want us to get on the same page here. First of all, God is far more interested in changing your mind than changing your circumstances. You can think about that a little bit. That's why it's so important that we manage our minds. Because your thoughts control your life. They shape your life. You know, we control what we think about in the sense of, like, you think about what you're going to eat, right? You think about what you're going to drink, you know. Those are things we are very conscious of. Oh, I'm not going to eat that. Yeah, I like that, whatever. Rarely do we really think about what we think about. You know, what we allow into our brains, we don't filter that so well. And the Bible is really clear that every action in life starts up here. If you don't think about it, it doesn't happen. Your mind controls, it shapes your life. That's why this is so important. You know, another reason that we need to manage our minds is because this is a battlefield for sin. And we talked about this a little bit last week, that your mind is where temptation happens. It's where sin begins. You don't sin without it starting up here. You know, the sin of pride, it starts in the mind. The sin of lust starts in the mind. The sin of hatred starts in the mind. Whatever sin you're thinking about, it starts where? In your mind. I mean, fear starts in the mind. Resentment, jealousy, envy, worry, they all start in the mind. That's the landing ground for it. You know, the battlefield of sin isn't fought around you. It's fought in your mind. You know, Paul writes this. He says, with my whole heart, I agree with the law of God. Then Paul gets real just practical. He's like, okay, you understand this. But in every part of me, I discover something fighting against my mind, and it makes me a prisoner of sin that controls everything I do. Your mind is your greatest asset. And Satan knows if he can capture your mind, well, he can conquer you. And so that's what he does. He starts with the mind. He doesn't start with your behavior. Doesn't even start with your emotions. He doesn't care about that stuff. Because he knows if he starts with your thoughts, well, he can get you. And another reason we have to protect our minds is because it is the key to peace, happiness, and joy. Anybody lacking that these days? You know, an unmanaged mind leads to tension, pressure, stress, conflict. A managed mind, well, it'll lead you to peace and tranquility. An unmanaged mind, an unprotected mind, leads to chaos. But a managed and protected mind can lead you to a place of confidence and hope. You know, Paul says this. He says, so let your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Again, I'm going to challenge you regularly to rethink what you think. You know, if you're going to protect your mind from the invasion, if you're going to maintain a healthy mind, you really have some choices to make along the way. You have to pay attention to what you're feeding your mind. Again, we don't think about this often. But one of the most misquoted verses or misunderstood verses in Scripture is when Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What most people don't understand about that in context is that Jesus was talking about Scripture being the truth. That it's God's word and that truth that sets you free. In other words, there are lots of things that are true, right? But they will not set you free. I could teach you about the history of basketball. I could tell you a lot of things about hoops that you probably don't know. A lot of truth. But guess what? That will not set you free, will it? The truth that sets you free is the truth from God's word. Scripture is kind of the owner's manual for life. And what I'm suggesting is we need to be feeding on it. And people go, well, how often should we do it? All the time. You know, God's word's not just something you read or you hear and you just move on. The fact is, when you hear God's word or you read it, it's living. It has power. And so, as you think about God's word through the day, it brings hope. It brings security. It brings safety into your life. It's encouragement along the way. It gives you strength, you know, comfort when times are tough. You know, when you're discouraged and under attack, you actually find that there's pieces of God's word that sustain you, but you got to do it regularly. You got to feed on God's word. That's what we're doing today, this morning. And you got to protect your mind from destructive thoughts. Set your mind free from the toxicity that's out there, which isn't easy, right? This is not an easy thing today in our society. You know, we're in a battle, though. And we got to understand this. It is a battle for your mind, and it's a battle to get to your soul, ultimately. And you may have good intentions. Lots of people do. You know, I'm going to protect my mind. I'm going to fill my mind with truth and good things and godly things. I mean, you may want to pursue God, get closer to God. Lots of people do. They go, oh, I want to get closer. But again, good intentions don't get you there. You got to be about it. You know, you got to be about trying to honor God with everything you say and do. And you need to understand the enemy will not make that an easy process. You're going to have to fight the fight. It is a brain battle all the time. You know, one of your enemies is your own selfish and sinful desires, your nature. It's just bent that way. You know, Galatians, Paul writes, he says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. This is painting a picture here. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. It's a battle for your mind. And my point is, if you're not careful, well, your own selfish, sinful desires will defeat you. They'll win. Have you ever felt like that? Like you got this battle going on inside? I want to do that, but I do this instead. I know what's right, but I don't. And so you've got this thing going on inside your head, and you're always fighting it. It's always showing up. You're always thinking about it. You want to get away from it. It's exhausting. And that is the point. To exhaust you to the point that over time, you just break down and give in. You know, in order to engage in whatever that self-defeating behavior is in life. And when you do that, you know it's not good for you. You ever done something you know is not good for you? But you do it anyway. I want to suggest to you, you do it anyway because you're losing the battle in your mind. You're caving in. You know, that sinful nature, honestly, it is the source of a lot of the destructive patterns in our life. You know, self-defeating habits, stuff that you go, I just do this, I could get out of this hole or out of this problem. I want to say this to you. You do not have to believe everything you think. You don't have to do everything you think. The truth is that your mind will lie to you. It will. You know, just because you think something or feel like something is true does not mean it is true. One of the most important things you can do regularly in your life is challenge your own thought process. I know I'm thinking such and such, but is it true? Is it really true? You know, for instance, you know, I'll hear people say, you know, nobody likes me. Is that really true? No. You know, things will never get better. Is that really true? I'm worthless. Is that really true? You need to challenge your mind over and over and over. And maybe I should put it this way. Is that God's truth when you're thinking it? Another enemy that invades, and we talked about this last week, but it is Satan, the evil one. And I want to be clear, Christ followers, the power that is inside you, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the power that Satan has. Satan cannot control you. He cannot force you to do something. I know people go, well, you know, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. I mean, you made a choice. I mean, he can prompt you and push you that way, but you have the final say. The only power he has is to invade your mind with suggestions, whispers, you know, try to influence your choices. You know, we talked about that last week. You know, he can tempt you, all right? He has that ability. He's pretty good at it. And if you allow those lies, and they are lies most of the time, if you allow them to stay in your brain, take up residency, take root, well, watch out. He is continually planting negative thoughts in your head. Negative ideas, negative impressions. From the moment you wake up every day, he starts trying to get in your brain. Go ahead. Do it. You deserve it. You do. You're a good person. You deserve that. They're stupid. You know, somebody needs to put them in their place. Hey, how about you? You know, how dare them say that about me? Hey, gotta get even with them. Fix them. Put them in their place. Satan is a master at getting in your head. And what he does is he feeds you ammunition. You know why? Because he wants to hurt you. He wants to damage you. He wants to steal from you. It's why Paul encourages in Ephesians 6:11, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Interesting. Devil's schemes. He has schemes, plans for your life. He's going to try and implement them. And another thing that invades your brain is the world's values. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, this world is not our home. We are aliens. We are citizens of heaven. And therefore, the world's views are often in opposition to God's values. They just are, and culture, I always find it interesting, it's always changing. And it's always being promoted to all of us, you know, through movies and shows and, you know, music and celebrities and advertisement. We're bombarded with this stuff regularly, with ideas, with beliefs, things that start trying to plant themselves in our head. You know, do what works for you. Life is about you. Just worry about you. I mean, there's no right or wrong. Believe what you want. Just be sincere about it. It's okay. You have a desire? Acquire. Get it. Jesus taught us that life is not about us. It's not about you. In fact, it's very countercultural, his whole message. You know, it says, everything that's in the world, the craving for whatever the body feels, the craving for whatever the eyes see, and the arrogant pride in one's possessions is not of the Father, but is of the world. Have you ever noticed that the world does not encourage you to be disciplined, to resist, to hold back? No, culture would tell you, give in to lust. Give in to the cravings of the flesh. You know, do what you want. You know, follow your feelings. Live for yourself. If it works for you, do it. Who cares? The heart wants what the heart wants. I mean, we could go all day down this path. It is a constant, constant mental battle that we fight. And it's a battle to invade our brains. So how do you fight that battle? Well, Paul gives us some ideas. He says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. Now, I'll tell you that the weapons in this world are very different. I mean, primarily, I think, you know, politics, social media, Hollywood. But he says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. No, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That wrestling match that's in your brain, that mental battle, we've got strongholds in our life. A stronghold, to kind of explain it, is that lie that you believe that's part of your worldview. You lose because it's a stronghold. I mean, it could be a lie about money, about a relationship, about sex, about your past, about your present, about your future. Could be a lie about resentment or fear or worry or pride. I mean, we could go on and on with that. But when you believe a lie in that area and it influences your decision, your actions, that's the stronghold. Because fundamentally, your worldview says, it's okay. Go ahead, plow down the road. The weapons as Christ followers that we possess, well, they have divine power to demolish the strongholds. See, Paul continues, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There's two phrases I want to pull out of here. We take captive. It's a war term. We take captive. It really carries that idea of bring it under control. You know, capture it. Conquer it. You no longer let that thought roam freely in your head. You no longer go, oh, well, you know, I guess that kind of makes sense. No, you take it captive, and then you make it obedient to Christ, which that's an odd phrase, but it means you bring the thought into submission. And I know some of you are going, well, how do you do that? Well, friends, you have to make your mind mind. You know, the psalmist says this, says, I have made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. Sometimes your thoughts are hard to contain, to shut down, right? They rebel. You know, I got to quit thinking about it. No, think about it. You know, the reason most end up ineffective in the battle or live defeated is they don't fight the battle. Don't resist the invasion. Don't focus on the right things to get you in a better frame of mind. Friends, you have to have truth in your life, God's truth, over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Feeding your brain. You got to protect your mind from the destructive thoughts. Again, very hard to do in our society today. You have to stay away from the negative influences that are trying to invade your brain. And you have to focus on the right things. And we're going to talk a lot about this in the next few weeks. You know, things that you can do that help you manage your mind, that help you get to a better place, a healthier place spiritually. But real quick, I want to give you two things. Two things that you could start doing right out of the gate. And the first one is you start focusing on Jesus Christ. You know, you've heard it said before that you become what you think about, right? Think about it enough, you'll become that. I'm suggesting you think about Jesus a lot. You know, Paul tells us how we're going to run this race. He says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Some versions say fixed on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. How do you protect your mind? Well, focus on Jesus a lot. You know, how do you keep from getting tired and discouraged? Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, how do you protect yourself from quitting and giving up or giving in? You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And I don't want to make this sound simple, okay? It's not a simple answer to a very complex question, but it's a starting point, all right? And then you have to focus on eternity, you know, which is something we do not tend to do much. It is really easy to get caught up in the here and now, isn't it? You know, whatever the crisis is, the problem, the struggle, whatever's going on, whatever's happening, we tend to just get fixed on that. And I'm suggesting we get an eternal perspective. You know, Paul says, let heaven fill your thoughts. Think about the long run. Don't spend your time worrying about the things down here. Again, easy to say, hard to do, right? But when you focus on eternity, when you realize there is more than the here and now, this very, very moment, when you do the math, hey, we get 70, 80, 90 years in this world, compared to eternity, it changes how you think. And I would suggest to you it'll change how you live when you keep eternity in perspective. And I'd really encourage you to make a point of being here the next few weeks. I believe this series will change people's lives. Some of you want joy and peace, plan on being here. Some of you battle, plan on being here. Your mind is important. Protect it, because there's an invasion. And this, I'll close with this. This is kind of mind-blowing, you know. Amazing piece of scripture. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for who? those who love him. God has a plan. God has a good plan, a great plan for your life. And whatever you think it could be, it's greater than that. That's how great God is. God created you fearfully, wonderfully. And he created you with a brain. And we're going to figure out how to use it to a greater degree. So let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we praise you. You created every single person here fearfully and wonderfully, Lord. God, there's always a battle going on in our head. And I pray your Holy Spirit would just give us strength to think about what we think about. That God, we are conquerors. We are created with power, divine power. God, you have a plan for our lives. And God, I pray that we would just commit ourselves to following your truth, being who you created us to be, called us to be. And God, forgive us when we let things take root in our brain and steal our joy or our hope or discourages us, makes us worry and fret. Things that are destructive, that hurt those around us. God, we lay all our life at your feet. God, we give you our minds. Just ask you to take root in them, to protect them. God, help us to honor you with all we say and do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, we're going to focus on Jesus. You know, part of communion is that very thing. You know, the early church, they would celebrate communion, and it was to remind them that Jesus died for them, that Jesus gave his life so that we could be free, free of sin. We could be forgiven. There's so much when you think about what Jesus did that changes our lives, right? And that is to be one of our focuses. And so this morning as we partake, I'd invite you to focus on Jesus. He died for you. He gave it all up so you could live the life without guilt, without shame. You could live forgiven. You could live with hope. That you could have joy, even in the midst of problems. Jesus did that for you. And so we focus our minds and our hearts on that this morning. If you haven't been here before, you got to take the first layer off. There's a wafer underneath there, the bread. And Jesus gave it to his disciples that first time and said, take and eat, for this is my body. Body that would suffer for us so that we could have a relationship with God. Likewise, he took the cup, he drank from it, and then he passed it to the disciples and said, drink. This is my blood, new covenant, new day. Because of Jesus Christ, it's a new day. live each day, understanding because of Jesus, you get a start all over again. New day. You leave here, it's a new day. Focus on Jesus this week and see if you don't have more hope, more joy, strength, power that you can't get a hold of what's going on up here. You know, when things are going awry, we're going to focus on Jesus. So let's bow in prayer. God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your love that took you to the cross. God, we marvel that you were willing to send your son to die for us. God, help us to live the life that says we love you. We set our hearts on you, we set our minds on you, and we look to Jesus for everything we need. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. May you go in peace. May the love of God go with you today.